Bible study. Just greet everyone in the name of the Lord. Those watching on live stream, we greet you this evening in the name of the Lord. I'll open up with a special prayer request this evening. I'd like to remember Brother Jed Clifton in our prayers. He's in our hospital, expecting him to do well in that infection, but we still want to uplift him in our prayers. Lord, just continue to strengthen him and heal his body. He's been hit on this property. I didn't realize that he's been coming since the time of that. So that's one reason why he doesn't have any feeling, obviously, and know what's going on with his feet as well. And we want to uplift him in our prayers. Lord, touch his body. And Pastor was telling me, right before service, Sister Wanda was in the auto accident. Just today, sometime. Someone had written, so we want to uplift her in our prayers this evening. The Lord, just touch her body and strengthen her. Her in our prayers. Is there anyone else with a special spoke?
Like everybody remember, Brother John had a ball in prayer. He's been here and ministered for us. He was a missionary to Argentina for many years, and there are thousands of people in churches in Argentina today serving the Lord, baptized in Jesus' name because of his missionary works and endeavors. And I found that today. He had one bout with bladder cancer a few years back, and I don't know if they gave him radiation or what it was, but it put him in remission, and it is back now again, and this time they're going to be doing surgery this week sometime this week. So I appreciate everybody remembering him.
Like everyone to remember Layla in her prayers. She's about to begin finals for the end of this semester. So we just want the Lord to strengthen her, encourage her, and lower her stress. show of hand, he's greater, amen. He made us, he knows us better than the doctors think they know us. Curtis Hester? Brother Curtis. Yeah, we just mentioned him. Yeah, we want to uplift him in our prayers. Let me see. Anybody else? All right, how about unspoken requests? The Lord knows every need, every situation. As we said just a minute ago, he is our creator. He's the creator. He knows exactly what we need, and we just give to him to handle in his mighty way, in the mighty name of Jesus. And let's just stand together and go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight giving you praise and glory. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have kept us this week thus far. And we thank you for your hand of protection of us on us, Lord. And now, Lord, you know every need, every situation, and we give to you to handle in your mighty way. We want your perfect will to be done. You know all things. You are all things. Hallelujah. You are healer. You are mighty God. Hallelujah. Indeed. We just give to you to handle in your mighty way tonight, Father. We have come together tonight to uplift your name, the mighty name of Jesus. We praise you. We exalt that name tonight. Hallelujah. We glorify the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Did everybody say? Amen. Let's worship the Lord tonight as Pastor leads in worship. Hallelujah.
Lift up holy hands, magnify. by his name and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, let's worship him. Gee, hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Lord. Lift up holy hands. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name, and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name, and worship him. Up holy hand, magnify his name, worship Christ the Lord. Oh, let's worship him. Jesus Christ the Lord. Praise your name, Lord. We have coming to his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have coming to his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Oh, let's worship him. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's lift up our hands and just worship him right now together. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name, and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name, worship him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name, worship Christ the Lord. Oh, let's worship him. Jesus Christ the Lord. Come on, everybody, let's just praise him. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. I want to do this old one tonight because the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. And if it wasn't for the faith of God, couldn't none of us make it through. Amen. We need that faith each and every day of our life. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe in his shelter enough. I'm living by faith. The tempest may blow, the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on. Hallelujah, amen. I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, from all harm saved. This earth some sweet day, our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, from all harm saved, in shame. Living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Give Him a hand clap of praise tonight. Thank you, Lord.
Living by faith. That's what we have to do. Live by faith. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Living by faith. Glory to the name of the Lord. I want to make a couple of announcements this evening. We are fastly approaching the ending of April. And we'll be getting into May before you know it. But on this Friday, we are going up to the men's conference at Hope. And so while we didn't get enough interest to do any food beforehand, I will be here sometime around 5:30 or so, or excuse me, 5:45 to right around 6 o'clock, see if anyone is going to ride on up there to Hope with me. And we'll leave here right at 6 o'clock. So if you're watching tonight and you want to ride along, we will be leaving promptly at 6 p.m. on Friday to go on up to Hope. So we're looking forward to this. Great time into the Lord at the men's conference. And so then after that, we'll be back in service on Sunday, looking to see what the Lord will have for us, Lord willing, on Sunday. And a week from tonight will be the first Wednesday of the month. So be the first Wednesday night of May, which is actually May the 1st. So that'll be our corporate prayer meeting a week from tonight. So everyone remember that. It comes up so quickly on us. It's here before you know it. And I also want to mention as well that since May is coming up so quick, you know, I told everybody that we'll be going to the nursing home on the second Sunday of the month every month at 2 o'clock, which is what we're doing. But the second Sunday of May is Mother's Day. So we won't be going up there on Mother's Day. We're going to instead do it on the Sunday before, which is the 5th. So that's a little
little over a week away from this, a week from this Sunday. So I just wanted to bring at their bones attention tonight that we'll be doing this particular at the Stone Ridge Healthcare there on the 5th. So may remember that on May the 5th. The ladies are having a conference at FAC on the 4th, and it's in the calendar for 4 p.m. Is that right? If I'm not mistaken, isn't Sister Kathy speaking there? Okay. They're going to have different sessions, Sister Kathy Mapers is going to be speaking in one of those sessions. I'm not sure what her time allotment is or what it'll be, but it's only one day, right? Saturday. So anyway, all ladies, welcome to attend. This will be great for ladies to do. And so remember that on the 4th coming up. Praise the Lord. At this time, I'm going to step back over here and get the microphone ready and hot and fired up for those who have praise for the Lord tonight. We need to hear a good praise for Jesus tonight. Amen. We hear too much negative going on out in the world. There's way too much negative news. It's kind of like we was watching the TV show the other night. I think it was TV. We was watching it. It wasn't on the social media, but we was watching something that was, yep, and it was showing it particular things that folks do that makes each other mad, like to make the neighbors mad and stuff. And it was just a wide variety of stuff. But then they had this one clip in there where these kids went up to this lady's house, and I think it was Valentine's. You remember that? It was an older lady, and it just floored us. I mean, we're not used to seeing anything nice like that. They took her flowers and a balloon. It was like for Valentine's Day, and we was like, how did this clip get in there? This is all about everybody, you know, being mean and rude and ugly to the neighbors and everything. But it was good to see. It just shocked us. So I say that, you know, say we need the word of a testimony and uplifting the name of Jesus, and because we just don't hear it too often. So God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
I told Layla, I was like, well, be careful, because there's venomous water snakes. And she said, yeah. She said, I hope we don't come across any of those. And so, but they were just mainly, she was hoping they were going to stay away from the water and look for the other things. Well, she texts me and says, our professor said, was telling us to be careful and telling us what to watch out for, because there will be venomous snakes out there. I was like, okay. So I thought, we'll pray about it. And so I called, I texted Ronnie and told him, or Mike called him, and I was telling him about how he said there was going to be some venomous snakes. So we agreed we're going to pray together and rebuke any snakes and pray for a hedge protection around Layla and her classmates, and so no venomous snakes will be around. Well, so Layla, you know, everything went fine. She kept sending me pictures with her and these different animals they'd found. When I went to pick her up, she said that her professor let them know once they got out there, oh yeah, we're out here, the main thing we're looking for is cottonmouths. Mm. So they were doing the search for cottonmouths. And I was like, oh no. And they were out in water that was, what'd she say, like to her waist? They went out and they had to wade from one piece of land to go through water to get to another piece of land. And anyway, So what the amazing thing is that, you know, God did keep her protected, but he kept those snakes far away because the professor said, I just don't know where they are. I know they're out here. I've been out here before, and we always have so many. And he said, I know they're out here all around us, and we just can't see them. And he goes, I know they're here. And he was just baffled. So then he made a joke saying, oh, it's probably because one of the other students wasn't there. Maybe that's why. I was laughing. Layla said, she thought to herself, no, it's not because of that. It's because I'm here, and my parents prayed for me to be protected, and that's what God's doing, so it's my fault. But, you know, I know that was their research plan, but we didn't want our kids and anybody else's kids bit, so. But that's amazing. I thank God for that.
Praise the Lord. Yep, the Lord will protect you. You go. Praise the Lord. All right. Yeah, keep. There we go. Sister Mark.
I love the Lord. I want to praise him for another day. I was another praise report is the young man at work. His name's Adam, and his girlfriend's name is Kayla, and she's the one that was diagnosed suddenly with cancer. She was in Vanderbilt. She's at home now, and I feel like she's doing so well. She did not lose her hair. Out of all the treatments that she's taken, she's got a port. She's almost completely finished with her treatment, and they feel like it's gone, you know, they're not gone, but they got it all, and it hasn't spread anywhere else in her body, and she still got her hair, and they were like, I can't believe you're not bald, you know, and I thought, you know, God, that's just like, and I told him today, I said, that's a God thing right there. I said, God has brought her through, and she still came through with her hair. Her hair was really, really long, and they told her that, well, when she starts this new chemo, that she would definitely not have any hair. But you know what? God can do that again. But I just praise God for bringing that young girl through. She's in her 20s, and they were planning, their wedding was planned in May. He said the venue where they had paid some money down told them not to pay any more on it. And next year, when she's all completely well, they would come back and let them get married and have the big wedding next year for the money they had already paid and not have to pay any more. And they're going to go ahead and get married in May and have a very small wedding. But I just thank God for that. You know, he worked that out, and she's at home and tired and weak, but, you know, she's good. And I know that, I know God took care of that, and I just praise him for it.
Thank you, Lord. Anyone else want to stand? Don't want to leave anybody out in case you do. All right. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Amen. We will ask the blessing over the offering this evening. You can bring your offering up and stand, stretch, and greet one another. Everyone say, God bless Pastor tonight. We want to continue to uplift the pastor in our prayer. The Lord strengthen his body and touch him. He needs a touch in his body, so we just keep uplifting him in our prayer this evening, and we're thankful for the word that he's about to bring to us in this study tonight. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer and ask the blessing over the offering. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and glory for this evening. As we receive this offering tonight, Lord, we just ask to bless the gift and the giver. Let all of it go forth to your kingdom, to the furthest of your glory, Lord. Let all praise and glory come back to your name, the mighty name of Jesus. For without you, we are nothing, we have nothing, and we thank you, Father. The mighty name of Jesus. Let everyone say,
amen.
God bless you as you give tonight.
Well, I believe that Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe that Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe that Jesus saved, and his blood washes whiter than snow. Yes, I know that Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. All I know, Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. Thank you, Lord.
God is good. And all the time, give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We are studying about fivefold ministry. And we covered the apostles and prophets last week, and we are going to hopefully finish it up tonight. And let me say this to those that are here, and also you watching at home. This is a study that everybody that's concerned with the church should be involved with. Because I told you last week and gave it to you in your handout that when we talk about the fivefold ministry, we're talking about the heartbeat of the church, the five Lords. It's God uses that to run the church. And sadly, something so important, a good majority of church people really don't understand the workings of this fivefold ministry. But if it's out of whack, if it's not operated correctly, everything's going to mess up. I don't care how much you pray personally and seek God, if the fivefold ministry is lacking in the body of Christ, or if you've got some that don't understand the full working of it, it just can't operate like that. Forget about the modern cars today with the computers and all electronics. But let me take you back a few years, and something I know Brother Paul is well acquainted with. But back in the day, you had to have the timing set right on a car. The points. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say the points? Had to be right. I remember my dad always carried a feeler gauge and a little file in the car with him. And I remember as a kid sitting on the side of the road in the car acting up. Daddy, get out of the car, raise the hood, get out there and file the points down a little bit because they're sticking on one side. Regauge them, start up, go on down the road. And I remember back years ago when I worked at State Stove, I was working graveyard shift at the time. And I forget what kind of car it was or whatever, but it was still back where
had all the old components, and some guys that was working in my department, his car wouldn't start. And they were three or four gathered around, you know, giving suggestions and whatever, and one saying this thing. But I could tell by the sound of it that the timing was off. And I told the guy, I said, the timing is not right. It's not going to, I said, something has happened there. I didn't have a timing light with me, but I just loosened the bolt there at the base of the distributor, and then I advanced it just a little bit, just a few degrees, and tightened it back down, told him to go try it, and kick right off. The timing has to be right. It had to be right. And I said that to say this about the fivefold ministry, that God put these in the church, and he intended for them to operate, and he has a way for them to operate. So we are going to continue this today. I'm trying to bring it up here on my computer here myself, and I can't seem to find it. But I wanted to pull it up on here because I've got some things here that... Okay, it's page number 17 in your handout. And this is just a continuation, again, of the lesson we started, okay? We're going to begin tonight by talking about the office of an evangelist. And you can just, those that's got the handouts can follow me along. For you watching by the live stream, I would try to read slowly where you can pick up what we're saying. The evangelist is called to the gospel ministry and carries a great burden for those who are not born again, and also those Christians who are lukewarm and in dire need of revival. Their anointing is to preach repentance and renewal to both, and comes with great conviction to draw them to the Lord. They will often have signs and wonders following them to confirm their message. It's important that the evangelist for sure has the fire of God, because his job is not only to reach those who never have been born again, but to bring revival to people in the church that are getting cold. When we talk about revival, revival itself is not about the lost. You can't revive something that ain't never been alive. Amen? I mean, to revive something, it's got to have been alive at one time. The church occasionally has to get revived, and then when the church is revived and operating the way it should be, evangelism is going out and souls are being born into the kingdom of God. Evangelists are geared to create converts and stir the ember coals of fires growing dim, while apostles create disciples and lay foundations for emerging churches, and we talked about that last week. The heart of the evangelist is to see people birth into the kingdom of God and excite the church to return to their first love. How many knows there are times that we forget the first love? Amen? That's what Jesus wrote in the book of Revelation. He leads the disciple into others of the fivefold ministry. It's not his position to disciple people once they're born again. The evangelist comes, conducts the meetings, gets people born again, and then he moves on down the road wherever God sends him, and then the pastor and the teachers in the church, it's their responsibility to disciple them. And when I say that, I'm talking about teach them and train them. Amen. I have been blessed to be able to mentor some young preachers under my ministry, and one of the first things that I always told them, I said, those that come to me and say that they feel like God is calling them into the ministry, and when I begin to mentor them, I tell them, when you go somewhere to a church to minister or to preach, it's important that you learn what the message of an evangelist is. Because an evangelist's message is different than a pastor's message. And I've told them all, when you go somewhere, you've been invited to a church somewhere, you're not there to pastor their church. Amen. You're the evangelist. And sometimes evangelists get off track and they preach the wrong type of message that is not their calling to preach. Now, you may not think this is important, but believe me, God is a God of order. Amen. And even though I've got to call myself, and God has anointed me, Brother Paul, if I get out of the order of God, God ain't going to bless me like you. Now I need to be blessed. Amen. God is a God of order, and we need to make sure that the church is functioning in the order that God has ordained it. Now, the evangelist never feels like they are actually doing enough and accomplishing their task. How true that is. I can still remember the 20 years that I worked as an evangelist. They burn with an exuberant fire while they are grieved to see believers' indifference regarding to the lost. They do have an anointing to impart God's broken heart to the body. Evangelists are absolutely crucial for numeric growth in the local church and the kingdom of God. One of the best examples of an evangelist I can give you tonight that you'll know about is Brother Larry Flannery. He's a powerful example. He does exactly what an evangelist is supposed to do. And when he comes to preach, signs follow what he's doing, just like what I said a while ago, because there's a different anointing on an evangelist than it is a pastor or another member of the fivefold ministry. Amen. A prime example of an evangelist in the New Testament is a man by the name of Philip. Now, I talked about him last time. He's the one I told you had four daughters he prophesied. Remember that from last week? Okay, Philip, I'm to remember that you might have your remembrance here. He was one of the seven men chosen to serve as a deacon in Acts chapter 6. That's how he got his call. A deacon was put in the church to make sure that widows and orphans, if there's any in the congregation, are taken care of, and that nobody's going hungry. There to help in visitation, to go and pray for those that are sick and things like that. The deacon takes a lot of that type of work off the pastor and makes the pastor, when Peter put it like this, when the early church was coming together, people and was beginning to complain in the church that some widows was being neglected in the daily distribution of food. Now, to better explain that, if you remember, back in the early days, then nowadays we get people upset when you try to get them to give 10%. But you know, in the early day of the church, people sold property and stuff that they had and brought it all and laid it down to the apostles' feet, and the apostles would distribute it to the needs of the whole. Now the early church was a whole lot more tight fit and unified than what we are today. I mean, most churches are like ours. We see our brothers and sisters on the Sunday morning and Sunday night, and we all split off and go our lives during the week, and we don't have no contact. The early church wasn't like that. The Bible said they was in the temple, but they were daily going from house to house. They were connected more back in that day. So the number was growing and growing. The apostles, the 12, was trying to see that the people were being fed spiritually and also physically. The widows was being taken care of. Finally, it got out of hand. And Peter said this. He said, it's not right for us as the ministry to leave the Word of God and go serve tables. That's the exact word. He said, you choose 7 men that's full of the Holy Ghost, 7 men that are honorable and that you trust and depend on, and we're going to appoint them to this task. Thus was the first 7 deacons in the church. And that's what their position was. Some of those 7 God led on to become ministers and evangelists. Philip was one of such. He was one of the 7 men. And you can read about this in Acts chapter 6. And he is the only one specifically called an evangelist. Acts chapter 21 verse 8. It calls Philip an evangelist. In Acts 8, he obeyed the Holy Spirit and brings the Ethiopian eunuch to a believing knowledge of Christ. How many remember the story about the Ethiopian eunuch? He went out and he seen the chariot. And the Lord said, go join yourself to that chariot. All right, so Philip went out and he was doing an evangelistic work. He wound up baptizing that Ethiopian. In Apostle Paul's final letter to Timothy, Paul told him to do the work of an evangelist, 2 Timothy 4 and 5. Timothy was an evangelist. This also referred further shows the office of apostle, as I told you last week, has the authority to appoint and place men into the fivefold calling. Amen. An apostle who's got a call of apostle, because they go out as messengers and they're sent out into a new area and they start churches, they train men and then they ordain them to be the leaders of the church. They had that authority to do that. And so here we find Paul telling Timothy, you do the work of an evangelist. Does everybody pretty well understand what we're talking about now, an evangelist? All right, let's move on to the office of pastor. The pastor is the under-shepherd of the sheepfold. And by the sheepfold, I'm talking about the church. Jesus himself is the chief shepherd, 2 Peter 5 and 4. The shepherd pastor is a gospel minister who deeply cares for the sheep which have been entrusted to him. He is ready to lay down everything for the sheep. Jesus talked a lot about the shepherd and the good shepherd. He said he was a good shepherd. He said the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Then he told a parable about the harlot. Remember the parable about the harlot? He said the harlot is a man who's just employed to take care of the sheep. He's there to get a paycheck. And I'm going to tell you, folks, any church, I don't care who it is, if the pastor over that assembly is only there to get a paycheck, they're better off to boot him out. Y'all going to have to bear with me as of what I'm talking about, because this right here is something that's close to my heart, being God putting this in my life and giving me this. A man's going to step up to be a pastor. It's either got to be one of two things. He's either got to be called to do it, or he's got to be out of his mind. I'm sorry. You gotta have the calling. You gotta be out of your mind. Even today, I reminisce about the days of evangelism. See, I could go into town, drive way up to Indiana, the other side of Indianapolis, and do a weekend revival. And man, I can preach the word and get out of Dodge. And lead the pastor to take care of the aftermath. Hallelujah. But Jesus said that the harlot, the one who's just interested in what he can get, he's not any good for that. The pastor's calling is to feed, nurture, and train them to function properly in gifts of the Holy Spirit. His desire is to develop each member's gifting and step into each one's particular calling of God. A pastor basically has to have all nine of the gifts operating through his ministry, and because he has the anointing of a pastor, God will do that. God will do that. To give you an example, I do not have the gift of interpretation of tongues. I don't have that gift. But because I have the anointing of the pastor, there have been times that somebody would interrupt the service through a message in tongues, and you wait, and there's no interpretation. And if the person giving the message don't have the interpretation and nobody else is given to them, there are many times God gives me the interpretation. Because I get back to God being a God order. It is out of the will of God for somebody to start talking in tongues out loud where it interrupts the service without an interpreter. It's out of the order of God. And you need to go back and study the governing of the nine gifts. And so there have been times that God would give me the interpretation. And I would give it. Of course, sometimes people just get carried away in their spirit, and there's really no message there. And you have that to happen also. So God will use the pastor in discernment of spirits. That's one thing. You got to kind of be able to discern people and pick up and see where God is leading them, what kind of gifting God's going to use them at. And once you see that, the pastor tries to help develop that in them. Amen. I will mention dear precious sister Mary years ago. We had some services going on, and there would be times a message would be given out and nobody interpreted. And she told me one time after service, she said, Brother Sammy, says, I knew exactly what they were saying. I said, you knew exactly what they were saying? She said, yeah, I knew exactly. I said, well, why didn't you speak up and give it? Well, I prayed I was in myself. I said, sister, if somebody's talking in tongues and you understand them, you can't be in yourself. You've got to be in the Spirit of God. Amen. And so it wasn't long after that I remember that God used her in interpretation. And this is part of the work of the pastor. The pastor's greatest concern is always the well-being of his sheep and his body, not only bringing training, but correction and protection were necessary. Man, it bothers me so much when God gives me something and I know possibly somebody's going to be upset by it, get offended. But because God uses the pastor to bring correction and also protection, you got to be willing. And you do it in love. I'm not talking about jumping down somebody's throat, but you know, doing it in a loving way. And just let me come out and say this, brothers and sisters, you watching, if you can't take correction from the man that God's put over you as your pastor, then you ain't in subjection and obeying those that's got authority over you, like the Bible says, and you're going to have trouble in your Christian walk. Amen. I've had my pastor come to me. I've had brother Shoulders call me a few times, get on to me about a thing or two. And I'm going to get mad and say, man, I ain't going to have nothing to do with them no more. No, because I know where his heart was. And a pastor loves the souls and wants to see the people right with God. The office of pastor is the one we most recognize today of all the fivefold ministry. Because of lack of understanding of the other four, those called by God to these other offices have often become pastors, therefore filling shoes that were not theirs, and creating tensions in the churches because they could not meet the sheep's need. If you've got somebody else, this is what I said a while ago, where I've instructed my younger ministers unto me, when you go somewhere to preach, don't try to pastor another man's church. It causes problems. It is time for the church to allow evangelists, teachers, apostles, and prophets to be what they are called to be and take their rightful place in the church. In a local church, get this now, and I want you to get this. In a local church, like this local assembly right here, you've got deacons, evangelists, and teachers who among, with the pastor, form the eldership of the local congregation. We got both of our ordained deacons here tonight. They do the office and the work of a deacon, which we've already explained some of those things, what is their responsibility to do. But they help form the eldership. I That's why they have authority to anoint with oil. Here, this is another thing that gets out of order. And since I'm talking about this order and how God wants it to be, I think I just need to bring it all out. Amen. God did not intend for everybody to anoint with oil. And we shouldn't just pass the oil bottle around to whoever wants it. What does the Bible say? It's not what I say. What's the Bible say? The Bible said, is there any sick among you? Let him call all the Holy Ghost-filled people of the church in their own world. Is that what it said? Amen. You shouldn't think that you're going to hurt somebody's feeling if you don't give somebody the oil bottle. Brother Douglas here and Brother Paul over here, they're part of the eldership of the church. They have that authority along with the pastor. Amen. And he said, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil. And then the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. I'm not saying everybody can't lay hands and pray. I'm talking about the use of the oil. Because the oil represents the Holy Ghost. It represents the anointing. Amen. So it's time for the church to allow evangelists, teachers, apostles, prophets to be what they're called to be. In the local church, you've got deacons, you've got evangelists, and teachers who, along with the pastor, form the eldership of the local congregation. The pastor being the ruling elder of each assembly. The apostles and prophets are not delegated to only one congregation like the others. That's another. It's already after 8. I might not get finished tonight, God's impressing upon me, and I hope we got more people watching online, because this needs to be taught. It needs to be driven home, and we need to get the proper understanding. A deacon is called for one particular congregation. That's the congregation that he's been ordained. God did not raise up a deacon to go down the road to the church down the road and do the work of a deacon down there. Amen. Deacons are localized. Okay? Evangelists are localized. Well, I thought they traveled. They do. But they have to be under the authority of a pastor. Now, when we was in Nashville, Nashville is an interstate hub. You got three interstates come converging there in Nashville. It's a city where people are constantly going through. I got men all the time calling me, wanting me to let them come preach. I'm an evangelist so-and-so. First thing I do is start questioning them. I said, well, where's your home church? Who's your pastor? Oh, I'm so busy, I don't have one. I'm sorry, I can't use you. And I don't have no problem telling them that. Every evangelist needs to be under the authority of a pastor. If you got a guy running around out here, ain't nothing creating wildfires, he won't do nothing but cause you trouble. Like what Brother Tenney said years ago, about prophets. He said, you got two kinds of prophets. You got in-house prophets and you got out-house prophets. He said, in-house prophets do the work of God. Out-house prophets, all they do is stir up a stink. So, now, sir, go back to Brother Flannery. Him and his wife have got a home church there in Knoxville, Tennessee. And when he's not in revival somewhere, he's right there under the authority of his pastor. That's why God blesses his meetings so. One of the reasons. So, and teachers. God raises up people to be teachers in the local assembly. Now, apostles and prophets, they're not delegated just to a congregation. Remember, they go out and they start new churches and everything, so they're a little different. 1 Peter 5:1-4. And now a word to you elders in the churches. And this is the New Living Translation I've decided to print for you. Peter said, I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. And I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Amen. One translation says, feed the flock of God. Another translation says, shepherd the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Don't be grudging about what you've got to do for your local church if you're in the eldership of the church. You need to go, whatever, pray for somebody or witness to somebody that's sick in the hospital or whatever. He says, do it willingly and not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it. King James says, I believe, not for filthy lucre. That ain't talking about whiskey. What's he talking about? Money. Money. That's why this translation says, not what you get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. And this right here, Lord, Lord, don't lord it over the people assigned to your care. Well, another translation said, neither being lords over God's heritage. I've seen too many pastors and Pentecostal movement that is no more than a dictator. Amen. They want to rule over everybody. They're control freaks. Amen. And that's not the will of God. This is, the people in this assembly don't belong to me. They belong to God. Amen. I'm only an under shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. And let me say this. I'm going to stop. I ain't going to get the last one. I'm going to close it down. I've seen some men get up and use the pulpit as a whooping post. Try to browbeat the people of God. Let me put it this way. There's another definition of the church besides being sheep. What's another definition? What's the church? The bride. Let me ask you a question. Any of the men that's married, if somebody comes around and they try to beat up on your wife or talk your wife down, are you going to just stand by? So, if the church is the bride of Christ, and I start using this pulpit as a whipping post just to hammer on people's heads for no reason whatsoever, I have a feeling God's going to have a little talk with me, pull me off to the side. What are you doing to my bride? Amen. Amen. That's no good. That's no good. Let's all stand together. Appreciate you being here tonight. And I hope that we've given you a little information to help you a little bit more on this fivefold ministry. Next week, not next week. Big prayer time. When we meet again, we'll finish it up and then we'll go a little bit further in Ephesians. Father, we come tonight, we thank you and praise you for our service. Thank you for those that are here. We pray for those that couldn't be here for various reasons tonight. We pray for them and hold them up in prayer. Bless each and every one as they leave here tonight and get out on the road. Keep them safe and protected. In Jesus Christ's holy name, let the church say, God bless you. We love you in the Lord.